together on an airplane a few weeks ago, heading out to Fort Worth, and so hopefully it won't be too turbulent. Sorry for the corniness there, but I was kind of focused in, you know, had these folks around me on my little iPad. I was doing a devotion from Charles Spurgeon on my iPad. And Charles Spurgeon, if you guys know of him, he was a great preacher in England back in the 1800s. And I just think about, would he have ever thought that his material would be on an app, on an iPad, that I'd be sitting on an airplane feeding off of his devotion? Isn't that amazing? So some of what I got here are his thoughts that, you know, kind of triggered, and it was really speaking to me. So hopefully it'll speak to you guys. I was flying last night also back from Fort Worth, different trip, but I got on the plane, and it was fully loaded airplane. I mean, every seat was taken. There were people on standby. Everybody wants to go to Atlanta for some reason. So I get in my seat 26B, and I'm in the very middle seat, which is the worst place to be. It's horribly uncomfortable to be in the middle seat, right, Brother Mike? So the guy to my left was European, and I could tell that a few ways. He seemed pretty lost in this world, this environment. He was doing everything wrong. He put his tray table down before we pushed away and all this stuff. And he was working on about his fifth day of either not washing or washing with a dirty rag. So his aura was speaking to me, okay? And it was speaking loud. Yeah, and there was nowhere I could go, and it wasn't calming down, okay? So I look over, and he's on his iPhone, and he's watching a video. And the video he's watching, because I'm eavesdropping, because, hey, we're all in this together, right? And you know, he's already been offensive to me. So he's watching a video of a guy with a machine gun, turning a corner and doing combat, you know, firing off his machine gun. I'm thinking, okay, I got this smelly European guy over here watching terrorist activity. So I look over to my right side, and there's a gentleman he's got his hat down like this, and he'd already told the European guy, "You're in my seat." And it kind of went like this. He walks up and says, "You're in my seat." Very calm and quiet. The guy says, "No, no, no, I'm good." "You're in my seat." "Oh, you're right, I am in your seat." So he gets out in the aisle, and he's like, "So what seat am I supposed to be in?" So he figures out he's supposed to be on the other side of me, right? And it was just cold and dry, the guy sitting to my right. "You're in my seat," and let the guy just stare at him while he figured it out. So I look at the book he's reading. It's about a 3-inch thick textbook, and he's got it open. It's like this wide, it's open. And on the pages it says, "The coefficient of ballistics." And one half of the page is a formula, and the formula is describing how bullets fly. So over here, we're watching machine guns fire. Over here, we're studying the coefficient of ballistics. And I'm thinking, if these guys are going to kill us, I hope they do it quick, because I can't stand the smell. It's just, please make it end. All right. So, there's actually a point to this story. Not much of one. But, so we get, you know, everybody goes to sleep but me, because there's no way I'm sleeping, because I can't breathe. So he's asleep. About an hour into the flight, guy to the right wakes up. And he's sitting there for a minute. And I'm on the iPad, you know, trying to occupy myself. So he looks over and he goes, "So you're from Atlanta?" Okay, so I usually don't talk on the plane because it's just pointless, right? You just want to get through like cattle. You don't want to talk to anybody. But anyway, he starts engaging me more. And this thing, I find out, he did 5 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was a sniper. Okay. And he worked for a company called Loophole, Scope Company, and he's one of their ambassadors that goes around and teaches and does PR for them. Okay, so he's starting a sniper academy. So I'm sitting by, you know, Mr. Sniper over here, and we're having a long conversation, and we start engaging, you know, because we're kind of in because he wanted to know what I did, and we connected around that. So he tells me a story. I said, well, how in the world, you know, you're in the military, how do you get connected with a company that is so close to what you do? He said, well, I knew I was going to be a Marine since I was 8. I was on home from one of my tours, and I walked into am I saying it right, Leopold? Am I saying that right? Leopold? Okay, so I walked into Leopold, their factory there. He's from Portland, Oregon. He said, I walked up and said, I need to see somebody out of your marketing department. And they said, well, who are you? He said, I'm really nobody, but I want to talk to somebody. Yeah, so he walks up and he says, the scope I'm using out in battle was built in 1993. Would somebody here help me with this scope? And would you maybe refresh it somehow? So he left there with 3 brand new scopes for him and some of his buddies back in battle. So he made a connection with this guy. Next thing you know, telling you how God works. Next thing you know, he's done his 5 tours and he's ready to get out. And this guy seeks him out. And now he's traveling around the world doing what he loves. He told me, he said, I got out and I was a diesel mechanic. He said, that's honorable work. But this is what I do. This is what I am. This is my purpose. And we started talking. He kept talking, and we found out he was a Christian, and he was, you know, raising a little girl, and we made a pretty good connection there. But part of the lesson tonight is around trusting God in our lives and going ahead and taking the chances that God's designed us for and getting aligned with what God would have us do. And I thought that was a neat story, because who in the world gets a job demonstrating, Daniel, you'd probably love to do this, right? Demonstrating long-range shots. Yeah. Yeah, he said he gets paid to play, basically. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. Hope you guys did too. So hey, a few years ago, when we were living over here off of Highway 166, we had a tornado come through. You guys remember the tornado that went up the highway just like it was driving to Carrollton? And it wiped all this stuff out? So during that tornado, my memory of that is I had been up all night working on schoolwork. I was working on a degree, and I'd been up till like 3:30 a.m. I mean, I was maxed out, tired. I was getting finished with this project, and I went and laid down, trying to get some sleep, and then this tornado comes. So we all rush and get out of bed, and you know, all we had over there was a nice interior closet. We had the kids in the closet, and the whole time I'm looking for a flashlight, because there's darkness, there's danger, and for some reason a flashlight's going to help the situation. Tornado coming, got to have a flashlight, just in case. So I couldn't find a flashlight, at least not one that had batteries. The whole time I'm hearing this roar outside, this roar and this whistle. And then it settles down and it's over. And I never did find a flashlight. So I was in a situation of no control whatsoever. I couldn't even control the flashlight that I wanted. Okay? So there's nothing to do. We went back to bed. And about 3 seconds later, it felt like, because I hadn't slept all night, there's people out in the front yard sawing up, you know, on my behalf, out there sawing up trees. And Jennifer comes in and wakes me up and says, hey, there are people clearing out our yard. Maybe you should go help them. Yeah. And actually, Brother Will came and checked on us that morning. You were knocking on the window saying, are y'all alive in there, right? Yeah, appreciate that, by the way. So I was thinking as I was reading the devotion. The devotion is around Isaiah 32:2. I was thinking about that night or that morning when that tornado came through. And once the daylight came and we could get out and see the destruction, our driveway was totally blocked with limbs and trees. The house across the street was damaged so bad they had to tear it down and kind of demolish it and clear the lot. But If you look closely, you can see the 4 corners of our property, the 4 trees at the 4 corners, the top of each of those trees was taken off. Now you tell me how you can take off the tops of trees, four corners around a house, and the house not get touched. There's one way that can happen. There's a hedge and a protection about God's people. So in Isaiah 32:2 it says, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." So Charles Spurgeon said, "Well, who's this man that we're speaking of in this verse?" He said, "Well, that's Jesus Christ. That man that is our shelter is Jesus Christ." And the thought is, why do I stand in the wind when I can so readily step into the Lord's waiting shelter? Why do we expose ourselves to wind when we have a shelter readily available to us? We don't have to. We can always hide in the shelter of Christ because God's shelter is the only one that we can count on. A lot of times we think things look firm in our lives, but quite often those are things that can be destroyed by the wind. Much of what we count on in our lives is grounded in the carnal, especially if we aren't careful. We can very easily become grounded in the carnal. We chase stability, we chase security, we chase longevity. We chase longevity in our jobs. We chase security in our finances. But the truth is, the only security that we have is under that shelter of Jesus Christ. So I've worked in an industry for the last 20 years that lives on a year-by-year contract. We get our contracts from Congress, and you don't ever know if they're going to have money that year or not. So every year it's play it by the next contract. The most security I've ever had in the last 20 years is 3 years. I've been on a contract that was 3 years long. So early in my career, when I was trying to decide, do I buy a house, do I buy a car, what do? That weighed real heavy on me. Because it was always, well, what if? Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, what if this runs out? Well, what if I can't do that? And you play all these what ifs, and you never get anything done. You never make a move, right? So I had to learn that stuff will run you crazy. I had to learn that you can't think that way. Now, it's good to be prepared. It's good to have a plan. It's good to have a path. But at the end of the day, we can't count too much on that next thing happening. We got to count on the shelter that's over us to take care of us. And we got to make sure that we're in the spot that God would have us in. So we got to root ourselves in the things of God so that we can withstand the wind. So I'll say that you can't achieve enough on this earth where you don't need God's protection. There's not a place built strong enough that can protect you if we're not counting on God. So if you have it all today, it can all be gone tomorrow. You can have nothing tomorrow. And if you have nothing today, you can have it all tomorrow. Right? Our situation can change day by day. Security doesn't exist unless God puts a hedge around it. So if God says step out on faith, even when you can't see the ground under you, then we need to step out on faith. I mean, I can imagine. I mean, one of the best examples I've seen of that is right here in our church with Brother Ken stepping out of the job that he was in when God was nudging him to do so. I mean, we've got a living example of that in our lives. And I've told that story over and over. And, you know, I'm not much of an Indiana Jones fan. How many of you guys watched the Indiana Jones movies over the years? I've seen some of them. Well, there's one scene that always illustrates this to me. Maybe y'all can help me with which movie it is. But there's this deal. I think they were going after the I don't know if it's the Fountain of Youth or the Cup of Life or something like that. But anyway, they're about to cross this canyon. And you're always reading the clues and all the riddles about, you know, how to get to the next spot. And when you look across this canyon, you look down and there's nothing. It's just nothing like, you know, it's the Great Canyon, basically. There's nothing but a fall to the bottom. But he takes this handful of sand based on this riddle and he throws it out across the canyon. And you can see that there's actually a path to walk on. Daniel, you're nodding. You remembering this? Okay, so there's this path to walk on, but it's an optical illusion that nothing's there. So they had to literally step out as if there was nothing there to find that there was something under their feet. Very often, God has us in a situation in our lives where He can give us a clue that we've got to go a certain direction, and He puts us in a position where we've got to trust, and we can step out and trust that there's going to be something under our feet to carry us forward. God is our shelter. You know, the best example out of the Bible I can think of, we talked about a few weeks ago with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham had to go with his son on the word that God will provide a lamb. Yeah, and he did. God is our shelter. So you see, when we all worry about the wind, a lot of time Jesus sleeps. Go to Mark 4:37. So I think back to the tornado that we experienced I was describing earlier. And it turns out Jesus isn't the only one that sleeps. Jenna also sleeps. Yeah, she went through that whole thing without a worry in the world. Mark 4:37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Never doubt whether Jesus cares. He does. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, I'm here to tell you from personal experience, it's not just the wind and the sea that obey him. Every force on this earth does obey him. There's nothing that can come against you. There's not a trick that can be pulled on you. There is not anything that can harm you that he can't say, Peace be still. Quieten that down. There's not a worry that you can have in your heart. There's not a racing idea that you can have in your mind that Jesus can't say, Be still. Calm. I've got this. Because he has got this. He's got it under control. So God will make even those that were once your enemy into your champion. God will make the people who set out to tear you down build you up. He'll do that. God will give you favor when others are backstabbing and lying to try to take favor. You don't have to participate in that stuff. God will give you favor when others are scraping and scrapping for it. You don't have to scrape and scrap for it. God is enough. Don't panic because of what they're doing and start acting like them. Trust that God is enough and He'll take care of you and stay in a position where He can bless you and honor your actions and honor your behaviors. Does that help anybody? Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know if y'all had an environment where everybody's being kind and supporting one another. Is that happening for y'all? Because we can go. My world's not quite that way. And I have to watch real close because we're real skilled at pretending we're friends. And we're real skilled when somebody's in favor, you know, getting along with that favor. But as soon as something, I'll tell you from experience, as soon as something happens and the numbers don't look good, the situation doesn't look good around you, whether it was your fault or not, they'll leave you standing by yourself, all alone, and they'll say, I told him the whole time. He didn't listen. You should have let me do that. I told him the whole time. But when things are going well, oh yeah, we're in it together. But you know who's never left me and said, I told him the whole time? Jesus has never left me and said, you're on your own on this one, buddy. Because he's a friend that sticketh closer, closer, closer than a brother. He is shelter built on an unbreakable foundation. He is fabric woven from an unterrible truth. I think Spurgeon said that. I can't remember if I took that from him or not. It sounds smarter than what I would say. He is fabric woven. His fabric is woven from an unterrible truth. He can bear the full force of any trouble while we rest in His shelter. He can do that. So I was in a situation the other day. I don't know if I should tell this story or not. So we had an executive come in and look at us one day. He was coming into our area just to kind of get to know us a little bit. First time I had really interacted with him. So he sits down and he says, he makes a point. And I look at him and I say, "Sir, can I be candid?" He goes, "What?" I said, "Well, can I be very open with you? Because I disagree with you, what you just said." He said, "Yeah, let's hear it." So I said, "Well, you know, I disagree, and these are the reasons I disagree, and I think maybe you should be thinking about it a different way, and let me give you some examples." So we talked for like the next hour about that, and he spent the rest of the day with me. And I thought, okay, you know, I think we're making a connection here. Okay, God's given me a little bit of favor here. So fast forward about a month later, I'm in this executive level meeting out in Texas, and room full of, you know, muckety mucks, whatever. And I walk by this guy. He goes, "Hey, don't walk by me without shaking my hand." I said, "All right." I said, "You look like you need a hug, actually." I don't know what made that come out of my mouth. That's the weirdest thing in the world for somebody to say in an executive setting. What is that? I didn't think it. I just said it. You know what he did? "You know what? I sure do." And he stands up. And next thing I know, little redneck from Bowden is being embraced in front of a whole room full of executives, even on video conference to other locations. And this guy's like number three from our CEO, okay? So he's a quick path up to the CEO. And I walk out. I was just going to the bathroom. I didn't really mean to get into all that. And I walk out thinking, "Oh, God, how did you get me into that? How does this happen? How does this happen? How does God do that?" I don't know, but we got a big God. And He can give you favor in ways you never would have imagined. So we can't trust our ability. We can't trust our talent. We can't trust our intelligence. We can't touch good fortune. I embarrassed myself by that story, by the way, in case y'all can't see the red face from back there. That was embarrassing to me. I don't know why I told it. I guess we're gonna be family here. So we can't expect our kindness or our purity. I think Spurgeon said this, to be our shelter. Though it's not bad, it's not enough. In other words, good deeds won't be your shelter. Good deeds, you can't be good enough to be protected from the storm. A lot of times we think, "Well, something bad's happening to me. What am I doing wrong? What's not right in my life?" Sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes it's just about the path that we're appointed. But there's, even in those situations, there's shelter for us. There's shelter for us. So the Bible describes Satan as a lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, I think of the howl of the wind, the howl of the storm, a lot like the roar of a lion. And I think of the devil seeking around who he may devour with that roar. But when I picture this situation and I picture God as our shelter, what I really see is a lion that has no teeth and has no claws and is on a leash to where he can't even move, but he's still got the roar. Lions are scary. They're big. And they're also loud and intimidating. As a matter of fact, that's one of the ways they get their prey is they roar so loud it freezes their prey so they can just take them. We don't have to be frozen by the roar of the lion. Because when we trust God as our shelter, we trust God to be in control, the leash is short. There are no teeth and there are no claws. And He has no access to you. So don't let the roar scare you. We have a shelter. We have protection. In God's hand, you are in the impenetrable shelter. So we should dwell on the positive and think good thoughts and trust that there is protection built around us in all situations. We don't have to let our minds race. We don't have to build situations that aren't really there. We don't have to chase worries because of that roar in our ears. We don't have to cower and we don't have to freeze when trouble comes up. We've got a friend that won't leave us. We've got a God that has our best interest at heart. We've got a big God that's able in all situations. So when we are not smart enough, we can still be given favor. When we don't know the answers, we can still be given direction. When nothing about us is strong, we can be hidden in His strength. When we don't have the answers, we can sometimes hear ourselves speak the answer without even thinking it. God makes things that don't work. He makes them work out. It is our job and our duty to just trust Him and to trust Him and rest in that shelter. As hard as it sounds and as hard as it can be when the wind is roaring and when the situation is big and when it's getting dark and when the lion's in your ear, it's up to us to trust Him because He's big enough. Has He proven that to anybody in here? In any situation? Yeah, He's proven it to me over and over. And I can recall situations that are maybe not a tenth of as worrisome as some of what you guys have gone through. And I don't want to pretend I've had a hard time or a tough deal, but there's been situations that I felt were hopeless. And maybe it's just my measure of hopelessness. And maybe it's just my measure of scared. But for me, it was a big deal, right? And for me, it was time to maybe give up. And I've seen God speak peace into those situations in a way that you can't even describe, you can't explain, and you can't deny. You can't deny it when it happens. Because that sweet peace, you can't make it up, you can't conjure it up, you can't take a pill to make it happen, you can't buy it. People are looking for peace with endless means around this world, and they're coming up empty. But we've got a God that's got that peace to offer. And He offers it on His terms and on His good time. And I praise Him for it. And you know what? I've been at this for a long time. And I've been through fads and I've been through fashions and I've seen a lot of different things. And I've seen things come and go. But this doesn't go anywhere. And this doesn't change. And the help and the fire that this creates in our lives never dwindles. It's worth it. It's worth the energy that you put into it. And it's worth having in your lives. Thank you for your attention tonight.